This is the KPQ Legislative Hotline, the weekly live update from your lawmakers at the state capitol in Olympia. On News Radio 560 KPQ, FM 101.7.
And good morning, KPQ News. Time 8:05 into the third and final hour of the KPQ Morning Updates for Thursday. It's the 23rd of January, 2025, and time for our legislative hotline for the week. Our Thursday edition is bringing us state senators from the 12th, 7th, and 13th districts. And today we have the two latter 7th District State Senator Shelley Short joining us today with 13th District State Senator Judy Warnick, also along the lines from Olympia this morning. And ladies, I appreciate the time very much. Thanks so much for taking some valuable time out of your schedule.
Absolutely. Nice to be here.
So as we get started here, this is a question that I asked to your counterparts in the Senate 12th District, Senator Gaynor last week, and then also Representatives Burnett and Steele, and just sort of canvassing to get the thoughts that you have on incoming Governor Bob Ferguson, obviously making some waves last week and some bipartisan ones for the first time, it seems like, in a while from a governor. And I was interested to know in the thoughts of both of you as we start out today on that. And Shelley, I'll go ahead and start with your thoughts on, again, incoming Governor Bob Ferguson.
Well, I have one word: refreshing. The fact that he sees the state and the need to handle the state budget like so many individuals and families handle their own, and to look at what those priorities are first and to make sure these programs aren't duplicative or necessary. I was just stunned, really.
Very good.
I was too. I really appreciated his opening speech to the joint session. And what I was optimistic about was his transition team. He has had 53, 55 people on a transition team, and they're bipartisan, and getting ideas of what we need to do as a state. We have invited him. I'm caucus chair for the Senate Republicans. We have invited him to meet with us before the session gets too far down the road. And we're just trying to figure out a time. So, which is not very often that a governor comes in and meets the entire caucus.
Yeah, it, I think, was quite surprising to a lot of folks. Did it take both of you by surprise? It seemed as though Mr. Ferguson may have been just sort of a baton catcher from former Governor Inslee and sort of would have just continued echoing what it was that he was trying to bring to the state in so many ways. But really, as you mentioned, Judy, or Shelley, excuse me, a refreshing change. So was this a surprise to either of you?
Huge surprise. Did not see this coming. And Governor Inslee just was kind of unto his own. You know, there wasn't much bipartisan about him, even though you reach out and you try and work, it just wasn't his style. And I think what we didn't realize is after 12 years, kind of that cloud, if you will, over our campus and over the jobs that we do. And so I really want to give Governor Ferguson a chance, and hopefully we'll see action staying in tune with some of the things he talked about.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, my seatmate, Tom Dent, was on that transition team. And he kept telling me, this is going to be good. This is going to be good. The farther they had conversations. And so I guess I was surprised, but not really, because he'd been telling me that.
All right, very good. Well, we're definitely looking forward to seeing if there can be some change forged in a bipartisan manner for the state of Washington and its residents. Obviously, that's the primary goal of everybody who spends time over there in Olympia. And I know it could be very frustrating when there's such a rive as there have been in recent times. Shelley, I want to swing to you for some specific things you wanted to talk about this morning. Let's start with the Fish and Wildlife Commission first.
Well, the Ruckels House, so the Fish and Wildlife Commission obviously appoints the director and approves the policies and the rules that the department put forward, just really has not been workable. It's become very ideologic and political for folks that want to fish and hunt, and really for those that enjoy, you know, the species and being able to see our different wildlife and birds. It's just been really harmful. So the Ruckels House Center was tasked with doing a study on the commission and their process. And shockingly, their feedback was it's not working, and it needs to either one needs to go away, or we should think about altering it's maybe its composition, how those appointments are made, and really having some accountability measures. We're hearing that, the report in Ag and Natural Resources today, to get that report, but I have had hundreds and hundreds of messages from folks all across the state on this issue.
Shelley, what do you think is the cause of this? Are you hearing anything as to why maybe even suddenly there is such a divide going on a commission that it would seem like would be fairly in line as far as its thinking? Because, again, it's not a commission that we'd think about having a lot of consternation on its board. But any idea why this is happening?
Well, frankly, yes. Governor Inslee's appointment. There has been a real direction to the animal rights arena. And look, we enjoy where we live. We love that we live in and around wildlife, but it's become far reaching. In fact, to the point that Governor Inslee in the waning days of his administration appointed two different members instead of allowing Governor Ferguson to take on those appointments. So it's become a real huge issue.
What are the chances, Shelley, if you think of this commission going away?
Most of the people I talk to really want it reformed, especially on the accountability and maybe thinking about how commissioners are appointed potentially. There are some that want it going away and making it just an executive cabinet, agency, much like, say, ecology and different things like that. But the commission was started by initiative because there was too much influence just under the executive branch. And so I think it's important to maintain it, but I think we definitely need to change it up a bit.
7th District State Senator Shelley Short with us today here on the KPQ Morning Update for our Legislative Hotline, joined by 13th District State Senator Judy Warnick. We'll talk with Judy here in just a few moments about things she's pursuing at the state capitol. We're going to stay with Shelley for now. Shelley, talk to us about the State Building Code Council as well this morning.
Well, this is a code council, again, very independent. They seem to do their own thing and not abide by the laws of the state of Washington the legislature passes. It's been a huge issue, and it really accounts for a tremendous cost, in terms of housing. So what this bill does, it's very bipartisan. Senator Bateman's joining me on the bill, and it's about restructuring the composition of the council and making sure that we have truly, you think of our building partners, you think of the folks that do plumbing and building and all the electricians and all of those things. And an important point, not so much east and west, but making sure there's rural composition on that council, rural and urban. And so I'm excited. It's a starting point, and I've just been appointed to that council to basically provide oversight, in terms of things we might need to need to do. But, codes are important. Don't get me wrong. We want, that health and safety and making sure that structures are good. But I think it's, when do you get too much good? And what does that cost? And what is it preventing in terms of folks being able to afford housing? So I'm excited to be taking on this new role.
And Shelley, on the note of housing, I know that's something else you wanted to discuss with us this morning. This is an issue that just never goes away. You can open the newspaper or listen to radio, go online and find something or many things about it every single day, it seems like. There's varying opinions about how to handle the housing crisis, what's causing it predominantly, and again, how to fix it. But I know you wanted to provide some of your thoughts on what you'll be pursuing this session as far as housing is concerned in the state.
I did. I see it as multiple tools. And this bill is one of those tools I signed on. It's Senator Liz Lovelace's bill. And under the Growth Management Act, you have your urban growth areas and you have slightly smaller areas where there's already development there. And so they're called LAMRs, which is a really long acronym, but essentially they're not urban growth areas. And so she has a bill that would extend development beyond single family housing into multifamily housing in these areas. And I'm really pleased to sign on to it again. We need all kinds of housing in the state of Washington. The fact that we could utilize areas that are maybe less populated, but still, they still have a slightly urban feel, I think is going to offer opportunities for our local governments, both rurally and urban.
All right, very good. Again, 7th District State Senator Shelley Short with us today here on the KPQ Morning Update for our legislative hotline. Going to swing over to State Senator Judy Warnick, 13th District, who's with us today. And Judy, again, I appreciate your time from the state capitol this morning. Here's another subject that you can't seem to get away from these days, girls athletics. I know we wanted to start there with you. There's something at the federal level that's actually been adopted now. So it's looking like it's actually going through some channels at higher levels. But here in the States, Washington really seemed to kind of be the progenitor of some of the thoughts about what to do related to transgender participation in girls' athletics. So I know you wanted to talk about that first this morning.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. And both of us have signed on to this bill. And primarily because of young girls that we have met in Wenatchee, in Spokane, who have been taken out of competition by a trans athlete. And I agree with many parts of the federal law, but we will see if it makes it here or not, if it will cover what we have in Washington. But WIAA, Washington Interscholastic Athletic Activities, my bill would have, or our bill, would have directed that organization to work with the school districts to find, to clarify who can compete against who, and it was a competitive nature. Many of those trans athletes are much, much stronger than the girls, and we want to make sure that the competition is fair, whether it's boys, girls, and another set of competition. But the we've had some young girls come here to Olympia to testify on bills that are just passionate about this. And these are 14, 15-year-old girls, not just ladies like us who have been through it. And these girls are passionate, and we need to listen to them. I look forward to working on the federal law, and hopefully we'll get our bill heard here in Olympia, too.
Judy, how passionate do you feel your colleagues in the Senate and really in Olympia in general are about this issue? I know there are times when it seems like the public can embrace an issue or even the media and really whip up a storm that perhaps legislators aren't as concerned about. What about this one?
This one needs media attention. It really does, because there are differences of opinions, believe it or not. My colleagues across the aisle have a different opinion, at least in public. Now, I've talked to a couple privately, and I think they would like to support a clarification bill, but they're a little bit nervous about it. So the more media attention we can get, the better, and the more girls, existing high school girls, the better, and their parents. We've had, because I think it is a safety issue for them, and for the actual trans athletes. I'm worried about them, but I think media will play a big part in that.
13th District State Senator Judy Warnick with us today here on the KPQ Legislative Hotline, again joined by 7th District Senator Shelley Short. Judy, staying with you, I know fire has also been in the news heavily these days. Southern California obviously ravaged, and we don't think about prescribed burns as far as being liabilities too often, but this is something you want to talk about this morning as well. Tell us about what you got going on there.
Yeah, we have just dropped a bill on prescribed burn liability, and it's based on an Oregon law that recently passed. So if for some reason somebody that does a prescribed burn, something happens, wind kicks up like what happened in California, I hope not, but it would have a fund available to help pay some of the damages that might be caused. But as we have learned over the years, prescribed burn is one key tool to prevent stronger fires, bigger fires. And sometimes they get away from you. So, like I said, it's based on an Oregon law, and we are getting bipartisan support for this one. And hopefully we'll have a hearing on that within the next week or two.
All right, very good. We'll look forward to following the progress of that. And the last thing you want to talk about with us this morning, Judy, forgive me, my notes this morning are a little chicken scratched. Was it first response that you wanted to talk about?
Yes, first responders. So many of us have rural fire departments. volunteer fire departments. So they have a building set up with their materials, their trucks, and we have seen an uptick in theft from those batteries, other items. I just read this week, somebody stole a Jaws of Life tool and they were using it to open ATM machines. So when our first responders go to their facility to respond to a car wreck or a fire, their equipment doesn't work or it's not there. And so this bill would increase the penalties against someone who stole from first responders' facilities, because they need to have equipment that works and is ready to go. And you know, firemen especially spend a lot of time making sure that their equipment is top-notch and ready to go.
Yeah, theft, Judy, seems to be just an enormous problem that's ramping up all over the place. I know our farmers, you know this all too well out in Grant County, and the Columbia Basin area are dealing with this like crazy as far as, they'll steal anything. I know I was told by Sheriff Spokesman Kyle Foreman out in Grant County here recently. Used to be the copper wire was the big target. Now it's just about anything that could be sold in the black market to gain profit. So most of they can get drugs or other stolen property and transport that. I know you talked about, again, getting stiffer penalties for thieves. But is there any talk about some preventative measures also being done, Judy, ways to secure this equipment within vehicles better?
That's a good question. We haven't included in that, but I'm sure we're going to hear from first responders that might have some ideas. You know, what it takes is extra funding. The fire departments do amazing work with the funding that they have, and it's sometimes not enough, especially in the rural areas. But I think that's a good question. How do we secure it better?
Yeah.
So I'm sure that's going to come up in the testimony.
All right, very good. Well, we got plenty of time left in the sessions to vet all of that, and looking forward to chatting with you and also Senator Short again with you down the line about that as the sessions proceed. Again, 13th District State Senator Judy Warnick today, 7th District State Senator Shelley Short alongside. Ladies, I appreciate the time very much. Thanks for all the work you do in Olympia, and I know we'll talk again here in a couple of weeks.
Thank you so much.